I got a real specific assignment. I like it when it's like that, where I know what he wants to do. Hallelujah. Go ahead and open up to two places, Hebrews 12. And also, I guess we'll start in Hebrews 12 and then Acts 10:38. Hallelujah. Very familiar passage, both of them. I was praying and asking the Lord. I knew that I had these services this morning. Y'all do know that everyone that stands behind here feels, at this pulpit, feels a great responsibility. We're hoping not to waste your time. You know, I'm not wanting to pull out canned sermon number 312. You know, I believe we're on a path to revival. I believe he's bringing us step by step as quick as he possibly can. Not only here, but all around the world. We have Jeno and Sunhae here also from Korea. By the way, they have now met O.R. and Lil, my parents. We went to the lake and had hamburgers with Ma and Pa. Hallelujah. Had a good time. Well, I figure if I get to go to Korea and have kimchi, they come to Oklahoma, they should get to have beef, hamburgers. Amen? Amen. All right. Back to message. Anyway, well, how many of you have learned a few things going down the born-again trail? Oh, my God. But I remember that wasn't the beginning of those understandings. You know, you could call those new creation realities rather than the born-again trail. And the first of my indoctrination or my teaching along that path was when Kenneth Hagin, in those early, early days, first time I got one of those tapes called In Him. And the little booklet called In Him. I had never heard such things in all my life, even though all of those verses were in the Bible. And I remember with fear and trembling saying, can I possess this land or not? I mean, I remember the first time I ever even tried to say out of my mouth. I had to read the verse over and over again out loud. Let's see, now he was made to be sin who knew no sin, that I could be made the righteousness of God in him. And I was afraid the lightning bolts were going to strike me, you know. But all through those, and then I read E.W. Kenyon's books. How many of you read those? I mean, they're just fabulous, new creation realities. And now God has been taking us down the, but even though I thought I learned a lot, and I did learn a lot, you did too, during all that period of time, still yet when God instructed Dave, let's go down the born again trail for a while. Have y'all learned a few things down that trail you didn't know before? But you know what the Holy Spirit was telling me? This is where it gets quiet. Because I was asking him about today and about what's coming. He said, you can fully understand that. And you still won't walk in miracles. Right. And I went, what? What? And he brought me to the pattern. He says, you have to follow the only pattern that you have. His name is Jesus. Yes, sir. He said, line upon line. I got to be careful. Okay, now, I don't want to go too fast. I want to jump to where I know he's going. Now, watch this. Yes, sir. All right. Hebrews 12. Now, Hebrews 12, this is revelation knowledge. You're going to be really glad you came. Hebrews 12 comes at the end of Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11 is what we all commonly call the Hall of Faith. I mean, boy, he goes back starting, all, you know, Noah and Abraham and Moses and all of the heroes of the faith. And then Gideon and even a lot of them that we don't even, you know, even count that high. Some of them aren't even really named. He just says some of these people were sawed asunder. Some of them were fed to lions. Some of them overcame, closed the mouth of lions. And all kinds of things. But he says, as he's finishing up Hebrews 11, he says this about those heroes of faith. In verse 39, and these all of them, having obtained a good report through faith, they received not the promise. They received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, before we go any farther, I was reading this one day and I'm going, God, I'm having a hard time with this. Do you understand I'm just Gary? And we're talking about people like Moses. We're talking about people like Abraham, King David, for crying out loud. Isaiah, for crying out loud. And you're saying that those people, none of them, received the promise? You having some better thing for Gary? He says, what did I say about John the Baptist? Among those born of women. Let's see, now what did it say about Eve? The mother of all living. So of those born of women, I think that's all. And he says, of those born of women, none were greater than John the Baptist. There you go. That includes all of them, doesn't it? Moses, Abraham, King David, Solomon, all of them. None of them were greater. Or John the Baptist, he says, was greater than all of those. But he says, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Boy, I didn't understand that then. I'm understanding it now. The reason why is none of them received what you got. None of them could be born of God's Spirit. They contended for the faith. They're the heroes. When I see how they lived and how they conquered and how they overcame, and get this, they did it with a sin nature. How much do you love God to walk like they walked? You talk about the heroes of faith, the hall of faith, my goodness. But it says right here that I don't care if you are the dirt under the toenail of the body of Christ. if you consider yourself to be the least of the least of the least, you're greater than John the Baptist, who was greater than all who preceded him. Why? You, with all of your faults, are born of God's Spirit. Daisy, why aren't you running? Man, I'm about to take off myself. Glory to God. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. And that's why now. So you got the flow? You got the flow of Hebrews 11, why he's saying everything he's saying. But now look, he says all of that. He says, now they didn't receive the promise. Coming into chapter 12. Now watch this. Wherefore? Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He's talking about all these people and all the rest of them who live by faith. In the Old Testament. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How do we do it? Looking unto Moses. Looking unto King David. Looking unto Solomon. Now listen, the Bible says all Scripture is good and profitable and given for our instruction and reproof. But we only have one pattern. And we can learn from David. We can learn from all of those. But when it comes to who is the pattern, who are we trying to follow after, there is only one. His name is Jesus. Because He is the beginning. It says, the way it says it here, looking unto Jesus, He is the author. In the margin it says, the beginner and the finisher or developer of our faith. David was not born of God's Spirit. He still had that nature from the first man, Adam. He is a hero of mine when I see how he lived for God. Same, you could say the same for Moses, for Abraham, and all of them. But when it comes to seeing how is a child of God supposed to function on planet Earth, you only have one to look at. His name is Jesus. And because we have not, and I say we collectively, meaning the church at large, because we have not, and if we did, we just flat refuse to believe it, we're not walking like children of God are supposed to walk, and we're not having the results that children of God are supposed to have. Hallelujah. Now, the born-again trail is necessary. Thank God we've been going down it. I'm sure there's more things that we don't know yet. Steve, are you pretty sure there's still some more things we haven't learned yet going down the born-again trail? But he was showing me this morning, you're not going to get any more mature than Jesus. Now look, okay, now go to Acts 10:38. This is the next line. Line upon line, precept upon precept. This is during Peter's sermon to the Gentiles. This is the first occasion of the Gentiles hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and that the Gentiles could be saved. God had to smack Peter around with a vision, if you'll allow me, because Peter didn't believe Gentiles could be saved. God had to show him a vision, let down this sheet in a vision on the roof, all full of all kinds of creepy, crawly things that were despised and by the Jews and they weren't supposed to eat. And so in the vision, three times God says, Peter, kill and eat. No, Lord, no, no, nothing unclean has ever gone into my mouth. Three times, finally God says, don't you call dirty, unclean, that which I have cleansed. And he knew right then, and those at that very moment, you know, God has a way of the timing. At that very moment, these men were knocking at the door, and God told him to go with them. Took them to a Gentile's house, which Peter wasn't even supposed to go in there as a Jew, but he just had this vision. Let's see, I can just see the words, or, you know, I can just see Peter with the words ringing in his ears. Part of him's going, I can't go in that house. I can't go in that house. I can't go in that house. And the other part of him's going, do not declare what I have cleansed, don't you declare as unclean. You know? So Peter goes in and preaches the gospel. And I mean right in the middle of it, this is the verse. Link this up now. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and the developer, the finisher of our faith. Now watch what he says about Jesus in this sermon to the Gentiles. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Let's get a few things here. Now, just the choice of words is very instructional. How God anointed Jesus. Wait a minute. Isn't Jesus God? Is not Christ the second member of the Godhead? Why does it say here that God, it doesn't say, and God the Father anointed God the Son? For additional tapes? No. Because he's trying to show us he is the pattern in his humanity. That's why it specifically says, not Jesus of God, Jesus of Nazareth. He's talking about the human part. He's talking about Jesus in his humanity. He is the pattern. Do you know he is wearing a fallen body descended from, that he got from Mary, that came all the way down the line from Adam? He's got a body like yours. But how many of you know his spirit did not originate on this planet? The spirit that was on the inside of him was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Ghost. So now here we have a human being with a fallen body, yet with the very life and nature of God in his spirit. What have you been learning going down the born-again trail? Does that sound like anybody you know? It's talking about you. This is why it says looking unto Jesus. You can't look unto David and find a born-again spirit on the inside of him. You can't look to Moses. You can't look to Abraham. You have to look to Jesus, the author. He's the beginner. Can I say it this way? Of our species? Do you know what that's what it's talking about in Corinthians when it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature? The best translation of that word is species. You are a new kind of human that never existed on the planet before Jesus. You're, again, I like to say it right here. We ought to lock the doors, pull it, you know, close it off to the outsiders, because meetings like this are for aliens only. If you are born again, you're from another world. You're an invader come to rescue a lost planet from hell. You're trying to rescue as many of them as you can while you're on this planet. You have a part in that. That's our whole mission. Otherwise, we just go to heaven now. But he's seeking that precious fruit of the earth. And he's trying to use us to do it. All right, now, Jesus, the pattern. Would you say that right before he steps into the Jordan to be baptized by John, would you say that Jesus is mature, when we talk about like maturity, grown up, walking in the fullness or understanding the fullness of what we today would call the born-again trail? I would say he was. I think he knew who he was, where he was from, and why he's here. In other words, he is, we keep talking about growing up and maturing that new nature on the inside of us. But what I'm trying to say to you is our pattern, Jesus, right before he's baptized, he was grown up. He is the mature Son of God. He is walking in the fullness of what we today would call the born-again trail. He understands it and is walking in it. Yet, get this, to this date, to that point in his life, no matter what the Apocrypha says, he had done no miracles. This is why the Holy Ghost was telling me, you can come to the fullness of understanding the born-again trail and still not have miracles in your life. Jesus came to the fullness and the maturity of who he was. He understood who he was. He understood where he's from. He understood the mission, why he's here. He's not walking in any what we would call flesh. Now, he is walking in fallen flesh, but he's not walking under the dominion of it. Okay? Yet there's no miracles in his life. Boy, if you haven't found Acts 10:38. Because you know and I know that no miracles occurred in the life of Jesus until after he's baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now let's go back to Acts 10:38 for a minute, because now we're talking about that event. Acts 10:38. How God, that would be God the Father, would it? And now, okay, let's do it like this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with who? Wait a minute. Isn't the Holy Ghost God? Don't we have, you know, our minds have trouble with this. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three separate, all three one, right about there in our humanity. If you think about that too much, your brain starts leaking a little bit right out your left ear. You know, you have trouble with that. See? But we know it's true. So if you really want, if religion would read it something like this, although they never would, but they might as well read it like this. How God the Father anointed Jesus, God the Son, with God the Holy Ghost. In other words, you're trying to make you think it's all God, so why would you ever be involved in it? Only Jesus can do that. Well, I tell you this much, only Christ in you can do that. But Jesus plainly said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. And we're trying to understand what he meant by that. And Dave says, Lord, we're not arguing with you about it. We see it in there. We know you said it. But Lord, are you aware that the journey from knowing what you said and walking in what you said is normally longer than our whole lifetime? Most of us never make it. We're going to make it. Why do you think he's got this at this church leaning to the left just a little bit with the carpet frayed? Why do you think you're here instead of where the chandeliers are beautiful and gold and silver everywhere and all of that? You're going to go into revival. You're one of the ones that's going to follow the pattern. Tulsa's going to see the living Christ in you. Glory to God. But we've come to the place now, apparently in our understanding, where he's saying now, okay, you know enough about the born-again trail, but you don't know a whole lot yet about the Holy Ghost and how to flow with him in power and in the anointing. We know a little bit. We know more about the gifts than we do the anointing. Gary, I thought they're the same. No, they're not the same. That's why you talk about the gifts. And then that's why you talk about the anointing. The Bible makes a distinction. Gifts are for babies. Now God can use you in power when you're a thumb sucking, bottle drinking, gossiping, back biting. Oh, I'm not talking about this church, am I? And if you're the only Christian in the room and somebody needs healing, the gifts can still fall on you just like that. And in the name of Jesus, zap, pow, they'd get up healed. And it sure wasn't because you're walking in any maturity. It's because God gives gifts to babies. You're the only vessel He's got there to use at that moment. There's a big difference between that. Jesus didn't walk around going, I hope the gifts are in operation today. I don't know what's going to... God, is it going to be the gift of healing you're going to do today? Is it going to be the working of miracles you're going to do today? He didn't walk around like that. He offered you a menu. He'd say, walk up to you and say, what is it you'd have me do for you? Because I have it. Basically, I have it all. All God has is available through me. Whew. Just think about that statement. You joint heir. Think about that statement. That's where we're headed, by the way. But we're not going to get there without learning how to walk with the Holy Ghost. All right, now. Y'all having a good time so far? I'm having a real good time myself. Here we go, back to 38 again. Why does it make these distinctions? Because we need to understand them. Sure, when it says how God anointed, we know that's got to be talking about God the Father there. But when it says anointed Jesus of Nazareth, he's talking about Jesus in his humanity. Jesus as the pattern for us. And notice, he anoints him with, is it with a thing or with a person? It's a person. Now, when the reality of that dawns on you, that, how many of you, okay, I'm going to bait you. You know I'm going to bait you. How many of you want to walk in revival? How many of you want to walk in the fullness of your calling? See, you want to walk in miracles all the time, not just, you know, just as a mature son or daughter of God, okay? All right? There's no such thing as that without learning to walk hand in hand with the Holy Ghost. See, here's the way that we have treated the anointing. Let me just find, I got a pocket knife here. I mean, it's just, I got to have something to use. We have, whether we say it or not, we tend to think about the anointing as a thing. All right? Father, you have given me, I've even heard, you know, and you have to be careful that you don't, you know, I have an anointing, I have a special anointing for cancer, I've heard people say. And I understand what they mean by that. It just seems like when they pray for people with cancer, they get results more often than other people. I understand that. But when you say it like that, it sounds like I'm holding up for benefit of the tape that can't see me. I just got a standard little pocket knife that I carry all the time. Let's call that the anointing. So God one day gives you an anointing for cancer, and we carry it like a thing, don't we? You know, because we think, okay, right now I'm in a service. We're about to have a healing line. I'm going to take out my cancer anointing in my hand. And I am, when I pray, then I'm expecting this anointing to do something. Now later on, when I want to go to the movies, I'm either going to put that anointing deep in my pocket. And I'm not against movies. If y'all know the truth, I'd probably go to more of them than you do. But I only go to the ones that I'm allowed to go to. Okay? You say, I'm not allowed to go to any of them. That's you. And there may be good reason for that. Sue and I went for 20 years without any way of playing any music in our house. Quiet in here now. But you've never heard me yet say God wants you to do that with you. He needed to do that with us. There was a reason for it. Now, glory to God, for the last several years, finally, after almost 20 years, he let me buy a little stereo where we can play some CDs. But music controlled our lives before we got saved, and God will have no idols in his presence. But now it won't do for me to come out and preach to you, get rid of your music player. You got to do what he tells you. He knows what your hang-ups are. Hallelujah. See, I think way back there somewhere, there was probably one preacher that God says, I want you to throw your TV away. And he was going, if I got to throw mine away. So here you had a whole movement. You know, you got to throw your TVs away. And so we just gave television to the devil. You know, basically. But I digress. Okay, let's get back to the anointing. Now, it does not say how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with, what would you put there, a pocket knife? A thing. He anointed him. By the way, don't let that end power. It threw me for years. I'm going, well, is there a difference? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power? And for a long time, the devil was messing with me. Because that's the way teachers are. We tend to get very detailed, you know. See, there's a difference. Now, this is not true what I'm about to say. This is what the devil would say. But he uses God's voice, you know. Oh, there's a difference. You can be anointed with the Holy Ghost and not be anointed with power. You notice how it says there, Brother Gary. I'm talking like the devil now. How you're only anointed with, you can be, how it says he anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. You, Gary, however, are only anointed with the Holy Ghost. Oh, you know what I say to that now? That's the best thing sometimes you can say to the devil. What did Jesus say about the Holy Ghost to his disciples? You will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Amen. When you get the Holy Ghost, he don't know nothing but power. You get the power with the ghost. Can I say it that way? How did Kenneth Copeland say that one time? He said, trying to separate the anointing from the Holy Ghost. He said, that's like trying to separate the wet from the water. If you get the water, you get the wet. If you get the Holy Ghost, you get the power. But it's still there's still a matter of learning to walk with him. Now, this kind of a walk that we're talking about, if you don't go down the born-again trail, if you don't let the Holy Spirit grow you up into maturity, it's just totally beyond human thinking. You'll never even have the capacity to begin to think it's even possible. You got to know yourself who you are, where you're from, why you're here. That's why we've been going down this born-again trail for so long. But now it's time. And see, most of the people, you probably already know more about the Holy Ghost than most people in the Christianity. You're fixing to know a whole lot more. And me too. But what I know so far, I've come to share with you this morning. Now, if you make notes or if you get the tape, let's get a few things straight just from what we've seen so far. Number one, who is your pattern? Jesus is the pattern. Don't you ever forget that. When Paul says, I've laid aside all these things that were something to me and I count them but dung, he says, for one reason, that I may know him. And he says, even Paul says, I don't say that I myself have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That mark, you could put pattern. I'm pressing towards that same pattern. You're going to be pressing till the day you die. But in your pressing, you're going to be walking in a whole lot more than you're walking in right now. Amen. So let's get that straight. Jesus is our pattern. Step number two. When God anoints you with the Holy Ghost, He anoints you also with power. All right? Let's get another one straight. The anointing is not a thing. God, if you don't leave here this morning with anything else, you've got to get this. The anointing is a person. Jeremy, I need you up here for a minute. Now, it's one thing. Just come up here and stay. Watch as the Holy Ghost approaches. Now, Jeremy's going to represent the Holy Ghost. I'm just believer. I'm Gary Believer. Okay? And I'm trying to learn how to do this. For years, I've been learning who I am in Christ, where I'm from, that God is my Father, and all of these things we've been learning, going down the born-again trail, that I really am not born in my spirit from the first man Adam anymore. My spirit is from the last man Adam. That I'm a new species. I'm literally the offspring of God. All of those things we've been learning, but now I'm trying to walk in the anointing. And my first understanding is I think it's a pocket knife or something like that. I think the anointing is a thing. So I'm walking around it, but now the Holy Ghost is here the whole time. For benefit of the tape where you can't see me, I've had Jeremy come up. He's just standing here, very nice, very much like the Holy Ghost does. Because, get this, the Holy Ghost is already with you. You're not waiting for Him to come. And what's really scary, He's been with you this whole time. Can you pray in tongues? He's with you. All right, but he's just standing there. Being very courteous, very nice, just like Jeremy is right now. Full of power. Full of power. But watch Gary. As Gary walks around, and walk behind me, just because he's going with me everywhere I go. It's not that he doesn't. But see, at this point, my understanding of the anointing is like this pocket knife. And I keep going, all my faith is in this little gift God gave me. And when I pray, boy, I expect stuff to happen. Let's see now. You know, and I'm using all my mental faculties trying to understand how God wants to use me. And maybe our ministry should be like this. Maybe I should have a traveling ministry. Maybe I should not have a traveling ministry. Maybe I need to start a school of the Holy Spirit. Maybe I need to not start a school of the Holy Spirit. Maybe I need to go to Korea. Maybe I need to not. And when I pray, I expect things to happen. And you know what's really going on? Now, when I reach my hand out like this, just lay yours right on top of me. Because I have faith. See, the Holy Spirit, boy, you ought to write this down. The Holy Spirit flows through faith. Nothing else. Now, where is my faith at this moment? In my little pocket knife for teaching purposes? Only when I am at that moment, if that's where my faith is, and I reach out to lay my hands on somebody sick, if that's where my faith is, when my hand goes out, His hand goes with me. Can you see that? Even though I don't realize He's standing right there. And when I come back, I think, boy, that pocket knife is good. Now, for those listening by tape, you can't see what just happened. It was powerful. But I'm looking at my pocket knife when really it was the hand of the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said? I cast out devils by the finger of God. Another place, I cast them out by the Holy Ghost. But boy, I'm thinking, man. Now, see, this right here is where preachers sometimes get in trouble. This is a really good gift God gave me. I'm really just somewhat special, aren't I? I don't see God using Mark like this. I don't see God using Jenho like this. This is where you got to be careful. You start getting into that Elijah to come thing. See? Start bringing discredit on the name of Christ. But now we're trying to get somewhere. Hopefully, if you continue to pray, finally, God one day will bring a verse like this alive to you. And he says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Let's say it this way. How God anointed Christ in Gary. Christ in Helena. Christ in Daisy. With a person. Not a thing. And suddenly I take my eyes off of the... Here's a great day of maturity. I take my eyes off of the little gift. I take, for benefit of the tape, I take my eyes off the pocket knife. And even though I can't see Him, there's an awareness that comes in me that goes, Holy Ghost, You're with me. And He's going, no. We would do that. He probably doesn't. He's long-suffering and kind and gentle. But I'm going, it's You doing all that. It says here, God anoints with the Holy Ghost. You're with me. You're a person, not a thing. I wish I could hear you. And he goes, go to the prayer center. Epoxy your britches to a chair. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Because here's where we're all headed. I'll just tell you plain. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see the 12. Can't you see them walk? Now, right now, he's Jesus, okay? He's going to be Jesus for right now. Jeremy is. We're going from one village to the next village. I'm Peter or one of the 12. You're Jesus. And as we're walking along, I can see him. I can touch him. I know that he's... And I have a question. I just have some kind of question. And I say, Jesus, what about this? He goes, well, let me go fast and pray for 40 days. No, he wouldn't do that. He stayed fasted up and prayed up and all of that. So if I had any kind of immediate problem, wouldn't I just turn to him and I'd ask him a question? Like the time that Peter says, Lord, they're after the tax. How many of you have ever had at tax time there was more taxes than there was money? Y'all remember the time Peter goes, they're after the taxes. I'm going to go dip into the savings, basically. I'm going to go dip into what we have. But Jesus had an answer. An immediate answer for an immediate problem. And it was like that day after day, walking with Jesus. Do you remember when Jesus said... Now, you may just have to stay here the whole time. Because Jesus says... No, we're not going to go to the verses. Listen, you know these verses. John, he says, I am not going to leave you as orphans. Now put yourself in Peter and James's place. Jesus just got through telling them, I'm leaving. What do you mean you're leaving? We've been following you for 3 years. What do you mean you're leaving? And then he has the audacity to say, and it's expedient. It's better for you. How can it be better for us if you leave, Jesus? He says, because I'm going to send you another comforter. And in the Greek, there are several words for another. That one means another comforter of the same kind. Another one, just like me. Why is it expedient? Because to hear my voice, you have to be in my physical presence right now. But when that other comforter comes, he's going to be with all of you, no matter where you are on planet Earth, all the time. And he doesn't speak of his own. He doesn't speak of his own authority. What he hears, that's what he speaks. So now, here I am in the year 2005. Jesus is physically in his glorified body seated at the right hand of heaven. But yet I have a ministry to do on earth. I need to walk with Jesus just like the first 12 did, don't you? I don't want to have my own calling. I don't want to call myself. I don't want to lead myself. I need another comforter. Hello, Holy Ghost. And I don't treat him like a pocket knife. Okay, right now I want your presence and your power. Right now I don't. And the thing of it is, even if I try, what's sad is even when I am totally unaware of his presence and I'm doing stuff that probably grieves him, he's still there. He's still there. The altars will be open in a little while. How? Because really, if we're going to really walk in our call, if we're going to have revival, walk with me now. Not behind me anymore. Side by side. We're going to walk arm in arm with the Holy Ghost. And really, we are going to bow and listen because this one has come to bring us our marching orders. He has come to bring us not his own plan for our life, really, but the plan of the Father as expressed through Jesus Christ. That's what he meant when he says, he's not come to speak of his own. Let's say it this way. The Holy Spirit has not come to be your Lord. There's only one Lord. His name is Jesus. But the Holy Ghost has come to bring you the mind of Christ. And as you start following that mind, start following those. Maybe we were going that way. Pardon me while I get my knife. We're through with the knife. As I was going to go that way. I was going to build a big ministry. I was going to do this and I was going to do that. And the Holy Ghost says, no, no, Jesus has called you over here. He's called you to do this right here. Oh, well, these people though are sick. And I can't do anything for them. And the Holy Ghost says, thank God you figured that out. I have come with that same anointing. Okay, you can sit down. Okay, y'all got that picture? Give Jeremy a hand. Did he do good or what? Because let's read the rest of the verse, Acts 10:38. Why all of that? Why all of that? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Why? Who went about doing good and healing half of those all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Now, here we go again. God was with him. I thought Jesus was God. I thought Jesus is God. Again, here he is talking about Jesus, the pattern for you. He is talking about Jesus, the firstborn of many brethren. He's talking about Jesus, the first man born since Adam fell, with the life of God on the inside of him. But he's still talking about the human. He's talking about the pattern just like us. But when it says, for God was with him, two ways God was with Jesus, the man Jesus. We're talking about the man. That's why it says Jesus of Nazareth. Two ways. God the Father was in His Spirit. That life that was first found in the Father and then was found here in the Son. And then when you get born again, that life is found in you. Jesus said it's not, the Son of Himself can do nothing. I don't care how mature you get. He was fully mature. The Son of Himself can do nothing. But it is the Father in me who doeth the works. One time the Holy Ghost was trying to get this across to me, and He says, said it to me like this. He says, there is only one life that has proceeded from the Father that I anoint with dominion. And that is the life of Christ. I anointed that life within His human vessel. And if you will allow me, I will anoint that same life in your human vessel. That is the life that I anoint with dominion. That's why the big transformation, why Paul would say things like, it's no longer I that live. Yet, he says, I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. Well, not I, but it's Christ in me. It's that life as it comes forward in maturity that the Father still anoints with dominion. We're not talking about the gifts. You can be a baby just born. Hey, I got a letter this week from a prisoner in the... He's really in a prison. He's born again. He's a leader in the prisons. Spirit-filled man. And they're conducting Bible studies in the prison. And he's getting people born again. But his letter went something like this. I've got the spirit of it correct. We may not have all the details. He says, I don't know exactly what to do. He says, our fellowship is getting a little larger now inside the prisoners. And... you know, it's starting to be a little chaotic. You know, I mean, these people are just freshly born again. And, you know, one wants to preach and another one will shout him down while another one wants to speak with tongues and another one wants to prophesy. And he says, I don't know exactly what to do. Should we make some rules? And I said, read 1 Corinthians 14. You got the exact same problem that Paul had in that baby church. That's exactly what Paul was facing. We don't realize that. But he said, that's what Paul says. You're babies. I can't even give you meat. I have to give you milk. And that's what 1 Corinthians 14 is all about. Just trying to lay out some kind of order. So they could have a church service without having a split every Sunday. Or not a split. But, you know, everybody getting mad and try. Can you imagine? What if every 5 minutes somebody tried to out-prophesy Dave? Or shout him down in tongues? And apparently that used to happen because Kenneth Hagin says, don't shout me down just because I'm preaching real good, you know. Apparently they used to. They'd shout you down, you know. We're going to have to learn to walk with the Holy Ghost. Step number one on that path. The Holy Ghost, the anointing is a person. The anointing is the Holy Ghost. Say this out loud with me, because we have trouble with this, because for so long we have seen the anointing, even the type and shadow from the Old Testament where they would pour the oil on, was it Aaron's head? And it ran down across his beard and ran down. Okay, that's a type of the anointing, all right. But see, when we look at it like that, we think of it still like a thing, like oil. But it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. So what happens there, that's why we call it a baptism. You're standing there as a born-again child of God. You're reborn human spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes like that oil. And He envelops your spirit man top to bottom. It's like you are totally baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's why the very first thing He wants is your tongue. Believe it or not. And religionists will never like it, but it's too bad. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. The Holy Ghost, now, forgive me when I say this, He's nicer than this. He knows you're stupid. He does. He knows that we're ignorant. We're babies. He says, give me your tongue. Give me your tongue. I want to start speaking life. The very plan of God for your life. I want to rescue your life. I want to pray certain prayers that where the enemy has got a trap ahead of you. About 6 months, he's planning on killing you in a car wreck. Let me have your tongue. And I'll pray the mysteries of God. Not only will there be protection for you, there'll be direction for you. Give me your tongue. That's why the very first thing the Holy Ghost wants when he baptizes somebody, give me your tongue. Let me start praying beyond your understanding. Is this good stuff or what? But he's a person. Yes, sir. And you might as well know this. He doesn't think like you. He doesn't think like you. He doesn't think like normal. He thinks like Donner. No. Well, in a way, because, you know, Donner just flat believes all things are possible. She loves it when she comes up on someone who's so demonized that the cops run. Donner says, give them to me. Because she knows who she is. She knows where she's from. She knows why she's here. And she knows who's walking with her. She casts out spirits. She casts out devils by the finger of God too. His name's the Holy Ghost. But now here's what you're going to find out. Since he is a person, he has emotions. Do you know the Holy Ghost can be grieved? Do you know he can be pleased? Do you know you can make him laugh? Yeah. I don't know if you can make him cry, but I know the Bible says he can be grieved. So, you know, the things that we think would grieve the Holy Ghost, all of us would pretty much, I used to think this, you know, like, and I'm not saying it doesn't, I'm sure it does. You know, when we act like he's not there, when we don't ever spend any time talking with him, when we just do what we want to do without spending any time in prayer, or maybe let's go a little worse, let's go, okay, we really shouldn't be in that movie. No Christian should be in that movie. But we win anyway. Do you think that grieves him? Sure, I think it grieves him. But you know what he told me one time in prayer? Yes, sir. Okay, I'll come back to it. He says the thing that grieves the Holy Ghost more than anything else is how the enemy has separated the children of God from his voice. They don't receive the counsel. They don't receive the direction from the Holy Spirit, the one that Jesus sent to lead us. He says more than any other thing, it's what causes him to grieve. It's how he sees how the religion has separated God's children from the voice of the Holy Ghost. How many of you are glad you come to this church? Glory to God, glory to God. Now, I was getting a little bit off track. He brought me back to it. I said a while ago, he doesn't think like you think. Praying in the Spirit this past few weeks, minded my own business. Now, most of y'all know how we operate, right? We send tapes for free, and we have stuff at the internet for free. We have never in all of the years charged it for anything, you know. And so I'm praying, minding my own business, but I've trained myself for years to locate the ear of my spirit. And I'm always monitoring right there. Used to be mostly, I was explaining to Jinho and Sune, in the early days, I could hear his voice. I got to where I could hear his voice. But nowadays, more often than not, it's a vision. Do y'all know that pictures carry more information than words alone?
Oh, yeah.
See, I can send you an email and say, I believe that. And in the email, you can't see my eyebrows. You can't hear the inflection of my voice.
Right.
And so, you know, in the email, if I just said, I believe that, then you would say, oh, well, Gary believes that. But if I was to call you on the telephone, and I said the same words, and I said it like this. I believe that. And they go, I don't think he believes it. You know, and if you saw me, you know, like if I could send you a video where you could see my eyebrows. Sue says I have power eyebrows, you know. A couple of caterpillars over my eyes here, you know. And I go, oh, and you see my face, then you go, oh, I believe that. Well, you would know, even though it's the same words. That picture carries a whole lot more information. Right? But now listen, sometimes I hear your voice, and sometimes more often than not nowadays I see pictures. I don't know what's coming next. I just want to keep going down the trail, okay? But anyway, this week, a few weeks ago, I was praying and I heard a voice. And he said to me this. He says, "You're not," got to get his voice, you know. "You're not making your teachings free enough." I had the same look that Steve just had. "What do you mean they're not free enough? I told you he doesn't think like you think." I said, "Lord, they're all free. They've always been free. We send out tape catalogs saying, ask for what you want. We'll send it free. We send it postage paid. We'll send it around the world. We make it free at the internet. What do you mean? It's not free enough." And that's exactly the words he used. And then he gave me this analogy. He says, "If you run out of soda pop at your house," which, by the way, I don't even drink it. I'm a coffee guy myself. But I know what soda pop is. So he's using this analogy. He says, "If you run out of soda pop at the house, what do you have to do?" So, well, we got to, you know, get in the car, start it up, drive to the store, get out, go in, select what we want, wait in line, pay the cashier, get back in the car, drive back home, sit down. Soda pop's probably hot. Going to have to go get some ice. It's quite a procedure. He says, "Is there a difference between that and when you want to drink a water?" Now, nowadays people use bottled water, but I'm from the old school, okay? And I say, "Well, yeah, if I want to drink a water, I just go to the tap and I get me a glass of water." He said, "That's how I want your teachings to be. I want them to be so available in people's homes that when they need a drink of water, they want to take a long drink of my word. It's as easy for them as going to the tap and filling up a glass of water. I don't want them having to write you and wait for weeks to receive anything." Shandai. And then, now step number one when you get an instruction like that is, okay. And not having a clue, really, how to get there. But if you don't go, okay, the next instructions are not coming. Because trust me, oh, please get this. I know this much about walking with the Holy Ghost. There is no point in asking Him about step two until you have already obeyed step one. Now, He will do this for you. You know, like you just agree to do it. Like I said, okay, I understand. I understand what you want. Now show me how. Now that's when your next instruction is. He'll make it clear to you. If you don't understand what to do, you just haven't prayed enough yet. Now He doesn't show you the end from the beginning, at least what I've found. Now sometimes He does. Yes, sir, He's correcting me. He says, "I did Noah." Yeah, he gave Noah the whole boat. Gave plans for the whole boat. And in a way, now He's doing that for me. I do know what to do to obey this instruction at the website. I know what He's doing. We're in the process of doing that right now.
Tell them a little bit about what's involved in it, though. It's still work.
Oh, it's a lot of work on our part. Oh, yeah. It's a lot of work on our part. Number one, I had to quit traveling this year. You know, I like to travel. But once I yielded to this, he says, when do you want this done? He says, "I want it done by January 1st. So from like right now, where the first week in August, I have like what, 5 months? To get this done. So I started looking at all of our tapes and all of our series, looking at what we have already, and I don't want to go into, you know, too much detail on this, but I'm telling you, I'm having to get volunteers and people to help me and digitize this, and I've got people in New Zealand working on editing some of the tapes because they understand my mind well enough, they can do it, and you know, they can take some of my old tapes from 1997 and see if I said anything stupid. You know, would I say it that same way today?
Right.
And, you know, don't you all hope I've learned some things since 1997? Boy, I do. I do. I hope I've learned a few things, you know. But it's a lot of work. And we had to change our schedule. I've had to apologetically. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, Jinho has talked to me about maybe coming. I've already asked the Lord. If they need me to come there, I can come. But only for a week. or only, you know, I can't like take a month this year and go because of this assignment that I have. Okay? But you know what? Now, here's the next thing, and I'll close with this. We're getting close to the time. Here's the rest of that that I didn't tell you. He says, only after you complete this can I take you into the next phase of your ministry. And he hasn't even yet told me what that is. But I'll bet you it has something to do with revival. Why do you bet? But he says, until I accomplish this. And then when he said that, it reminded me of what I heard Kenneth Hagin say on those tapes years ago. He says, most ministers, he said the Holy Ghost told, or that Jesus told him this. Most ministers, not just believe, not sheep, most ministers live and die and never enter the first phase of their ministry. What Jesus really called them to do. I remember again, Hagin, I believe it was 12 years that Dad Hagin pastored churches. And the Lord blessed him in that. There was this one church in particular, I remember, where he ministered, pastored a long time. He says, during all the time that we pastored there, we didn't have one single person ever die of sickness. Had some die of old age. They just, you know, lay down, time to go home. But he says, if they got sick, we always managed to get them healed. We never had anybody die of sickness. Now, I'd call that a fair blessing. Wouldn't you call that the Lord putting His anointing and His blessing on something? Yet later on, in the course of a discussion, and really how it was like this, the Lord asking Kenneth Hagin, what are you intending to do about that prophet anointing I told you I wanted you to walk in? And Kenneth, you already know it. He says, Lord, I wasn't planning on doing anything about that. And the Lord says, well, you're going to have to, or you're not going to walk in what I have for you. And he says, but Lord, this pastoring I've been doing, and somewhere in that conversation, the Lord said to him, I never called you to pastor in the first place. Oh. And that shows you right there, the Lord, He says, you can't even give a cup of cold water in my name and lose your reward. Okay? He will bless whatever it is you're doing for Him. But there's a big difference in that and walking truly where Jesus sends you according to His plan for your life and by the anointing of His Holy Ghost. Say it with me. The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit
is the anointing.
Is the anointing.
The anointing.
The anointing
is the Holy Spirit.
Is the Holy Spirit.
The anointing is not a thing.
The anointing is not a thing.
The anointing is a person.
The anointing is a person.
I walk with Him.
I walk with Him.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.